At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to a special remote episode of Five on the Floor. Thanks for finding us on your favorite podcast feed. We're here at Onsite Studios. That's in Plantation. Thanks to our friends over at Big Picks Energy. We'll tell you more about them in a moment. This special episode is sponsored by Prize Picks. Use the code FIVE, F-I-V-E. Put down $5, you get $50 to play. So they're doing a 10-to-1 match. There are no rollovers, there are no catches, and it is legal in the state of Florida again. So check out Prize Picks. Use the code FIVE, F-I-V-E. We'll be talking about props today that you can play those on Prize Picks. Also sponsored by our friends over at Better Edge. That's our legal betting partner, legal in the state of Florida and 44 other states. What makes this different from the other legal betting places in South Florida? Well, there's no VIG, which means you're not giving the house money for nothing. Also, you can find the line that you want on their marketplace. It's a social betting marketplace. Check out betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. That's the number 5RSN, and you get $20 right away to play. Down to Biscayne.
Yeah. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the floor playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop in one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, so the first thing I want to talk about with NBA, right? So we got the Heat at 44.5 over under. How do you guys feel about that? How do you guys think the Heat are going to do this year?
Brady, you first.
I mean, it's going to be what we always talk about. It really comes down to their health. It comes down to their availability. If they're healthy, I do think they are going to be above a 44 win team. Like, if they have their guys available, if Terry Rozier, if the neck is right, if the internal improvement really is there, I know we talk about that a lot. I think that raises their floor a little bit. But the guy that puts them over the top here, as much as we talk about the Tylers and the Bams and all these guys, Jimmy Butler's going to get them above a 44 win team. That's ultimately what's going to be the guy that could push them over the map. And it seems like in this current situation, being in a contract year, he's the guy that's going to have to be motivated in the regular season, more motivated than he was in previous seasons. And if he's playing at that level and he's really trying to earn his money and try to prove himself to the league and to his team and everything along those lines in the regular season, I kind of do feel like they are above a 44-win team. It feels like they're going to push expectations in the regular season, once again, if they're healthy, which never feels like they are healthy.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but with the Jimmy situation, do you guys feel like he didn't care as much about the regular season, but, like, do you really feel like just because he's on a contract year, he's like, well, last year I would have missed this game, but this year I won't?
Well, I mean, what Brady talks about, it's up to Jimmy. It is up to Jimmy, and they are counting on contract year Jimmy. I mean, that's pretty much where this is. I mean, that he is their – look, Bam is the floor. We talk about this a lot, okay? Bam is the floor for this team. Like, as long as Bam's on the floor, their defense is going to be good. Spo will find a way to work around it. They're not going to be a bad team. And here's the thing about the Eastern Conference. It's going to be hard to be really bad because there are five teams that are not trying. Okay, so you're talking – this is not the West. So you're talking about 11 through 15, your Detroit, your Charlottes, et cetera, Washington. Brooklyn is going to be awful, okay? Those teams are not trying. They are trying to get up as high as they can for Cooper Flagg, those that have picks. Mm-hmm. So really the floor for the Heat is 10. And as long as Bam's out there, like, they're not going to be worse than 9 or 10. Jimmy's the ceiling. Like, he is the guy who raises their level. And it has to be more in the regular season than it was last time. I mean, they threw down the gauntlet. I don't think he's happy about the way that it was done. We've heard more and more of that over the course of the summer. But he has a reason to play more. And he has a reason to play harder. Right. and he has a reason to play well. And my issue with him last year was not so much the 22 games missed. You know, someone went through it with me and kind of documented 15 to 17 of the games as like these were legitimate. And there were like a handful that Jimmy just didn't really feel like playing, or his body wasn't where he thought it should be. And so they decided to sit out. That's not the issue I have. The issue I have is the 60 games he played, he kind of dogged it in about half of them. Okay. And I think that's really more what led the Heat to not give him the extension right away. Because you look early in that season, there was a big game against Boston early. Jimmy didn't play well. There was a big game against Milwaukee early. Jimmy didn't play well. And then you look at his numbers against top 10 defenses last year. He averaged under 20 points at 41% shooting. That's not superstar work. You know, there has to be more games in the regular season where he is the best player on the floor. And we never actually did this, Brady, but like we were thinking about documenting this and saying, how many games this year was Jimmy the best player on the floor? And I bet it's under 10. Okay, and it has to be more than that, because you're talking about an Eastern Conference where you're dealing with, I mean, I'm not a big Tatum guy, you're dealing with Jaylen Brown. You're dealing with Donovan Mitchell, you're dealing with Paolo, who's going to be better this year. There are legitimate stars in the Eastern Conference now, and Maxey, Embiid, and Paul George on the same team, and obviously everything that the Knicks have. So you can't have a situation where Jimmy is just good. Yeah. And I'll tell you this, the only way they go under the number is if they got off to such a slow start that they trade Jimmy.
Oh, wow.
That would be my concern on the number.
You think that's a possibility, though?
I do. I don't think it's a likelihood, but I think it's a possibility. Look, this is played out pretty much the way that we reported, all right? From Pat's presser, which was unexpected, okay? Jimmy's camp was blindsided by it. We sort of got cutthroat Pat back for a day. I haven't seen that guy in a long time. And he kind of went at Jimmy, and I know that they weren't thrilled about it and all of that. But I said at the time that Jimmy was then not going to sign an extension. Like, basically, if the Heat weren't going to offer one, okay, then Jimmy was going to ride out this season, and then, you know, he can get 3 years somewhere else, okay, afterwards. And I still think that's the most likely scenario. So if they get off to a slow start, and their first five games, they play three terrible teams. They got to go 4-1 in that stretch. Because we went through the schedule, Brady, and their next six games, they got a six-game road trip, five playoff teams, including two in Indiana. It's a very difficult stretch. They could get off to a bad start, and if Jimmy's not playing a lot during those games, then we're going to start to hear a bit of buzz.
Yeah, and I could tell you on the betting side too, you hear about like Tyler Hero's inconsistency and how that scares a lot of people. For me, it's always been Jimmy. Like when I see Jimmy, even on a promo, sometimes I'm afraid to bet on Jimmy. So I completely agree with everything you just said.
You were winning on Jimmy all the time, weren't you?
Yeah.
On Prize Baby.
There you go.
I agree with that.
But it is crazy how like during the playoffs, and I'm talking about not this past year, obviously, because he didn't make it to the playoffs because of what happened in the playing game. But the year before, like they were jacking up the numbers to like 27.5, 28.5, 29.5, like during the playoffs, and he was clearing them easy until Josh Hart took him out. And now, you know, during the regular season, it's like there's a 20.5 number. I'm not comfortable.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable.
I wouldn't bet the over on that.
Yeah. I'm not comfortable. He has to get back to being the level of player that it doesn't have to be every regular season game, but we have to see that guy occasionally.
It has to be against the good teams. Like you were saying, talking about the good teams. Like if he wants to, you know, coast and be kind of that playmaker that he plays against the Charlotte team, like he can play that role and coast. But there's been games that he was mentioning, like it was like the games against Boston or New York or Milwaukee or those games. He has to be attacking Jimmy. He has to be scoring Jimmy, because then you kind of put yourself behind. They can't chase back like they used to. They can't come back when they put themselves in that deficit in games now. So that's kind of the problem. And the other thing you mentioned about Jimmy kind of trade deadline and trying to win games early, the only thing I'll push back on and say is there's a lot of home games late in the season. And we talked about this when we saw the schedule. It's like from Miami's perspective, they're kind of saying, even if they are kind of behind and they're in that play-in range, they're like, well, we got a lot of home games left late in the season. We can make a push to get out of the play-in. And it will.
By the way, we've already predicted that, because if you look at some of the dates in the schedule, you've got the trade deadline is first week of February, right? Prior to All-Star. They do it prior to All-Star now. And this is potentially setting up for a situation where Heat front office talks themselves into, we have a lot of home games coming up. We haven't been healthy. I hear that one all the time, every year. We haven't been healthy. We want to see this team healthy. Like, and if that's the case, like if you have Jimmy is nicked up, I don't know how Rozier is going to come back. All the reports are positive, but it's a neck injury. You just never know. Duncan Robinson has been working, But again, that's a back injury. You just never know. So, and you know, Bam has been the one guy who's been consistently available, but even he had the major injury a couple of years ago, which was not his fault and not a conditioning thing or anything like that. But they are, it's gonna be perilous for them because when we look at, and I know we're gonna look at the rest of the East, but I mentioned there's five awful teams. There's two teams in Chicago and Toronto who have the potential to be awful, okay? I mean, they seem to me to be in the play-in range. Atlanta is another one that's kind of, but then you're talking about the top of the East, and Boston's the same. They just want a title. And now they have the confidence of winning a title. And now they're pissed off because everybody's upset that Tatum didn't play or whatever and all the rest is. New York lost Hartenstein, but they add... but they add Bridges. I didn't love that trade in terms of what they gave up for future assets, but it will make them better on the court. And they have Anunoby for the entire season, and they get Randall back. Cleveland kept everybody, kept Mitchell. Didn't know if that was going to happen. Orlando will be better from the playoff experience. I mean, Philadelphia got better, much better. It's not just Paul George. They got better. So I know we're going to talk about teams that they could potentially jump. They're going to need some injuries to some other teams if that's going to happen.
Well, I wouldn't bet the over. I would also not bet the under, just much like Jimmy, it's like with this team, you just, right, they could go on a run. I will say though, just psychologically, I'm not making excuses for Jimmy, you come off a year where you make the finals at the AC, right? You take the higher season you tell them you own them, all this, that, and the third. I could see why it would be like, well, let me try to preserve myself for the playoffs. I don't care about the regular season. And sometimes they even say that in the press conference. It's just like, think about it, Jimmy after these playoffs, he said something about if I was healthy, the Knicks wouldn't have made it. So it's like they still
love that comment, by the way.
They don't care about the regular season, and that's the problem.
They don't, but see, it's just so antithetical to the way that the organization has typically done business. Right. And I think that's why Riley pushed back on it to the degree that he pushed back on it, because things have gotten away a little bit. And it reminds me of the press conference that Riley had before they acquired Jimmy, when they were still dealing with the Whiteside stuff and the James Johnson stuff and the Deion Waiters stuff, and he said, I let the culture slip, right? Then he acquired Jimmy, and the culture came back, okay? And Jimmy had a lot to do with that. He is a total pain in the ass behind the scenes, okay? He is a total... I'm told by people who've worked there for 25, 30 years, he's the most difficult player they've ever had to deal with, and they dealt with LeBron, they dealt with Shaq, they dealt with Zoe, they dealt, you know, a whole list of guys. Dwayne never gave him problems, but, like, a whole list of guys. But at the same time, like, first thing, they need him. Okay, because, I mean, if you don't have one of those guys, you need to go get one of those guys. And I look at their situation in total, and I just say, you know, first thing, need to get off to a good start, need Jimmy to be engaged, need Tyler to be playing like his hair's on fire, okay? You know, whether he wants out or he doesn't want out. It's always a prove-it year for Tyler, but this year in particular. But getting back to what Riley said, it was like a pushback on everything that's happened. They let things slip. Like, the availability thing is ridiculous. I'm sorry. I Big Three, okay, I was there with them for all 4 years. The 12-13 season, they had 9 rotation players, one of which was Chris Anderson, who they picked up during the season. They went 37-3 after they got him. That was during the 27-game winning streak. Everybody but Dwayne played at least 75% of the games. Okay, and Dwayne was right there. And we used to complain about Dwayne. Okay, like, and trust me, LeBron complained about Dwayne because he wouldn't know until right before game time whether Dwayne was going to play or whether it was going to be that year James Jones or Mike Miller, or the next year Tony Douglas. Okay. And what happened last year is just not acceptable. I'm sorry, like, 75 games was the leader. That was Hawkes coming off a full college season. Bam played 71, I believe, and Duncan would have gotten to 70 if not for the late injury. But all these guys in the 50s and the 60s, like, that's just not. And so they have to push back on this. So this idea that they don't care about the regular season, Spo did. Brady, we mentioned it last year. Spo talked about seed a lot last year. Didn't matter. So this year, they have to focus more on the regular season.
Okay, so looking at other Heat props, okay, I just want to cover this topic because there is a long history of players playing on the Olympic team, coming back and having their best seasons when they're in their prime, yes. Right? And so I'm looking at Bam.
There's also a history of those players.
Oh, don't do that either.
I'm just throwing it out to you. There's been a recent history. I hate to be
a
killjoy
here. There's a history
with
you as well. There's not just a history with that. There's a history with you making that comment.
No, I make that. Well, no, I'm trying to jinx it the other direction so it doesn't happen now. But it does. It has happened. Look, in recent years, there's been a lot of back because the training regimen is a little bit different, and you have the travel, you have everything else that goes with it. Let's hope that doesn't happen. But I'm just your overall point is correct. Well, your overall point is correct.
Let's bring the vibes back up. So there was a lot of talk about Bam during the Olympics, which is rare, right? Like, this is not a guy that usually gets mentioned, which is part of the reason why he never gets, like, Defensive Player of the Year and all this stuff, is because he's never in the media or whatnot. And now he had this whole thing with Wendy, and he's coming off. All these guys loved him. You could see all the pictures. Ant loves him. He's in his physical prime, right? For example, like, what I'm saying applies to, like, people like Bam, because, like, for example, Edwards, you could say he's going to have his best season, but after the next Olympics is when he's going to be in his physical prime, coming off the Olympic run, that's when you would expect.
So, he might be the best player on that team by the time that comes around.
Remember Wade 09? Like, there's been plenty of examples. So, that being said, before I hit you with the props, are you expecting Bam's best year?
Yes, I am. Actually, I mean, I know I just jinxed it, but I am actually, and it's for a lot of reasons. Because my thing with Bam hasn't been physical ability. My thing with Bam has been his belief in himself to take charge. And now he just spent his summer being praised, embraced by Kevin Durant, LeBron James. I mean, he had a handshake with LeBron, okay? I mean, we were actually thinking of doing a podcast on, like, whether Bam, if I mean, this is totally theoretical, but, like, if Bam would have been a better fit with the big three than Bosch, like, because the connection with LeBron. It's an interesting topic, actually. But I think he is, his confidence is so high right now, and he's always been likable. Like, that's not, I mean, players like him, but it's one thing to be likable, and it's another thing to be likable on the court. And, like, he's a likable personality, but, like, on the court, like, he does all the things the other guys don't want to do. And because of that, he is always going to be an attractive piece, if the Heat can finally cash in on it, for other players to come join the Heat. Also, he was not comfortable being captain last year. He hated it. That's what I was told. His response to me on the record, because I had heard that, so I asked him, and his response was kind of, like, lukewarm, but he didn't like it, okay? And I had a feeling he wouldn't like it, because he's not the kind of guy to, like, come down on other players. But it's a little different when you're a two-time Olympian. And I just feel like his voice is going to have more weight. And it has to, because I don't know where Jimmy's head's going to be at, and I don't know where Tyler's head's going to be at. So Bam has a locker room to manage this year. But I think from a playing standpoint, and I'll let Brady handle more of that, the three-point shooting, we can talk about. There may be a little bit more of that. But I just think there's going to be more aggressiveness, more assertiveness, and maybe you won't have the fade with him, where, like, last year it was every month of the season his points per game went down, and his shots per game went down. He needs to be in that 15 or higher shot range. Riley's talked about it. Last year he was under 14, and the number, it's because the number trailed off at the end of the season. That has to change this year, and I think it will.
To that point, when you talk about, like, kind of the post All-Star break numbers compared to the pre All-Star break numbers, I think the biggest, I don't think he comes out the gate and just looks like a completely different player post Olympics. I just believe that, like, he's going to be kind of more consistent and kind of break it out a little more, where he's just going to kind of ease it in a little bit. Because you mentioned being around these guys like LeBron and KD and all these, like, top players, he's learning from them. Like, not just playing the game, but I think he's learning the other stuff, like the stuff probably that matters more than anything. So I think that stuff matters, like, where he's just going to be more consistent and kind of play it out a little more. Not like Jimmy, like, where he's just going to say, I'm saving myself for the playoffs. But I think he's going to kind of wait for that wear and tear on his body a little bit more. And part of that is kind of stretching his game out. Being a three-point shooter, it's less physical. He can, not that he's just going to sit out there every time. I don't believe he's going to. I don't think they want him to. Spo's not going to just want him sitting out in the corner three. But I do believe that option and that ability to do that is big. And defensively, I mean, the most taxing thing they've done to him over the years is having to be the guy that cleans everything up, having to be the guy that switches all over the place, have to just move constantly. He's going to be playing a little bit more drop, just because of the roster. When you have guys like Terry and Tyler and the ability, like, they cannot just switch. They have to play drop. So that's a little bit more where he can play that role a little bit more, I guess. And then obviously the ability with Khalil Ware, we'll see where that goes. Are they going to play bigger? If they do, that's also much less taxing. Like, the stuff that I compare it all the time to what Milwaukee did. Not that it's the same situation, but made things so much easier on Giannis having a guy like Brook in there that he can kind of play his game a little more. Like, it's just more stuff on the break, more stuff just free-flowing, all of that stuff. I just think the role matters more than anything, but his confidence is peaking. And with his confidence peaking, his scoring's going to be peaking, his passing and all the stuff in the offense, he's not going to be deferring, I think, as much. And obviously from the Heat's perspective, in terms of, like, lineups and stuff, they're going to have to stagger a lot more. with this roster, because they're not a team that can just play their best players out there at the floor for a long period of time. They have to stagger to make it work. And when you stagger and you have two of your best players on the floor, like let's say it's Bam and Terry that are carrying a certain lineup, it's going to be a lot on Bam. It's going to be a lot on Bam to make things work just as he has in the previous years. But I think it's just more about spreading it out throughout the season so you don't see that post-All-Star break dip, that you just see kind of sporadically going throughout the season, and then he can peak late in the season into the playoffs kind of like Jimmy does.
Some props on
I'm going to hit you guys with some props, all right? So the number one I want to discuss is 21 and a half points per game. Now, to me, that's a little rich. Yeah. Even after all we talked about, mm-hmm. I still feel like within the Olympics, he was still playing a role. So I'm not sure he's going to come out and be like, I'm going to be a scorer now because I did it in the Olympics. Like, for example, like when Wade was the best player in the 08 team.
Right.
He was a scorer. So you could see how he would come back in 09 and be like, well, look what I just did when I played with the best guys. Bam's not going to do that, so I think 21 and a half is a little juiced. Ralph, what do you think?
I'll go ahead.
No, I think so, too.
I think so. I mean, look, we were kind of looking at who would lead them in scoring this year, and Greg Sylvander and I on Five on the Floor went through it. I don't know that anybody scores 22 for them this season. I kind of feel like you've got – first thing, they don't score that much to begin with. Scoring averages, too, get boosted a little bit when you have players out. Right, and that contributed last year to some of the numbers being a little bit higher. If they're healthier, the numbers will be lower because more guys will be playing together. That's one of those things that nobody ever takes into account. I don't really see anybody at 22. I think you could have a couple who cross 20. I mean, it could be Tyler, it could be Jimmy, it could be Bam. I think probably will be two of those three. I think Terry could be 16 plus, and I think Hawkins could be, and that's one of the things. Like, Hawkins was kind of a dark horse candidate for me to be up in the scoring leaders, because if Jimmy misses time, they're going to run the stuff that they do for Jimmy through Hawkins. So he's a sneaky pick this year, I think, in terms of going over. Like, if the number was like 12 and a half, I'd play it over. I'd play it over, because I just think there's going to be enough games that Hawkins is featured. And we saw, like, last year in Sacramento what happens when that's the case. And he's going to be a much better player this year. He improved greatly in the offseason. So I would say with Bam, 21 and a half, honestly, I wouldn't play it. But if I had to, I'd probably play it under, yep, even with everything we've said.
So one take I did like, Ethan, was that take on Tyler Hero scoring over 20 points. Mm-hmm. I think if the Heat do that, I mean, I think if Tyler does that, the Heat are in a really good position for that over the 44.5.
I think for sure he goes over 20.
Yes and no. Do I want to?
That's your take. He's kind of the opposite on that.
Tyler hates this take, I'll tell you, because he threw this one back at me a couple times. They tend to lose more when he scores more.
Oh, wow.
It's not like, what do they say? Like, correlation is not causation, right? I always mix that up. But it doesn't correlate with winning typically. I don't think that's his fault. I just think it's the way that the team is structured. Sometimes it's been on lower efficiency when he's had to score more. I'll say that, you know, when you look at the game against Boston, the playoffs, which he played a brilliant game. If you could replicate that game 30 games during the regular season, the guy would be an all-star. To me, Spoelstra was the best game he ever played. And when I asked Tyler about that, he didn't really like that characterization either. But I just think that if you look at his situation, I don't think he has to be a 23, 24-point scorer for them to win a lot. He just has to be on the floor and providing a spacing, a shooting threat, and a mid-range threat. And we've talked a lot about the idea of him getting to the line more often. I don't know that that's actually going to happen. But, you know, him playing off the ball and creating spacing. Because if you look at their starting lineup, if it's going to be Hero and Rozier in the backcourt, there's a lot of duplication. I don't think that's a lineup, a backcourt you can play more than 15 minutes in the game. I'm not sure you can close with it. And so I think that, again, Tyler may not be on the court in some situations he's been on before if Rozier has it going, in which case Tyler may not play the last 6 minutes of some games if Rozier has it going and Duncan's making shots. You know what I'm saying? So to me, Tyler just has to be available.
Right.
He has to be available.
I think he's realized with his points per game stuff that it's more so about the efficiency. Like, he's talked about that he's not going to get more shot attempts up. They have too many guys on this team that are taking up shots. You have Terry, you have Jaime, as we're talking about, that's going to get a lot more shots up this year. You have Jimmy in a contract year that in the regular season we expect to be a higher volume player, and then obviously Bam coming off what we just talked about. They're going to need him just to be more efficient. And I've talked about it before. He's consistently efficient, which means every year he's around 44% shooting. Like, he's pretty consistent with what he does, but now it comes down to just being slightly more efficient from certain spots on the floor, specifically with his finishing. Like, he's a really great three-point shooter. He's one of the best catch-and-shoot three-point shooters in the league. He was extremely efficient. He was 40-plus percentage last year. He has to just be better with the finishing. He has to be better with picking his spots. I think a lot of that opens up with him taking more mid-ranges again. They've kind of dialed him back in that way. They suppose kind of – coaches don't want a lot of mid-range shots. It's not a great shot. But it is a great shot for Tyler Herro because he's a great mid-range shooter. So I think in his mind it's not like, okay, I have to get X amount of shots more up so I can get to 22 points per game because I want to jump my points per game. Now it's, okay, I'm going to get the same amount of shots as I did last year, but I have to be this more efficient at this spot of the floor so I can make that jump in points per game. So it really comes down to that. It's not really – he's going to be in a similar spot shots-wise, shot diet-wise.
Before we move on to the rest of the East real quick, I have two more band props. I'm going to throw both at you. All right? Which one should I bet? He's fifth right now in odds for Defensive Player of the Year, 20-1. All right? Like I said, he has the media on his side now, maybe.
You need a Wemby injury.
All right.
I hate to say that because I don't want a Wemby injury. Well,
I don't want that. Yeah. The other one is plus 135. Bam over 0.5 3 points per game. 1 3-pointer per game average. Can we do that or not? Plus 135.
Brady, I'll let you handle this.
I would lean the Defensive Player of the Year thing, to be honest. I really do. If there was a year, I don't think this is going to be his best defensive year because I think he's had great defensive years in the past, and I think he's been robbed of certain ones. But I do think that the media stuff matters that you mentioned. Like, that really does. The attention that he got, the way he got propped up, as we talked about, by, like, LeBron and these other guys, and the way you're seeing him kind of hit the national stage where it's kind of like a good example is, like, Booker. Booker's getting a ton of praise right now for the role he just played. And I think people are realizing, like, oh, wait, Devin Booker's a really great player. Like, we don't give him the flowers he deserves. Bam's kind of in that same realm right now where it's like, okay, this guy's, like, a really good role player for this USA team, but he's also putting up all these numbers offensively, and he's probably the best defensive player in the league. So I look at it this year where it really does feel like it comes down to him and Wemby to me. Because Wemby, it's going to be tough in the future because the more years go by, the more trophies are going to be going to Wemby because the stuff he does defensively, the numbers he's putting up, like, this is really the year to capitalize. So if there's a year that he can kind of go out there and play a certain role, and I think the flexibility he's going to be playing, if he does play a little bit next to Ware, that if he is playing the four here a little bit, where he is switching all over the place again, but then also starting games and drop, and he's playing these different roles, they have to. The part that hurts him a little bit is I don't know where their defense is going to be team-wise. Yeah. Because I think it was a little worrisome last year, even though it finished pretty high. I don't know. I think it's going to take a drop, probably. Offensively, it might take a little bit of a jump. Defensively, it might take a step back. They have to be a top 10 defense for him to kind of be.
I think people will recognize your backcourt is Tyler Herro and Terry Rozier, and they're going to be like, well.
Well, you realize that, but the voters, when they're looking, they just pull up the numbers when they're going to vote, and they say, oh, this guy's at the top. And they just look at regular defensive rating for an individual player, which isn't even a real stat. That doesn't even make sense. We're trying to be too reasonable right now for certain voters.
Well, I'll tell you what, if it is, you know, 20-1 odds, they have him in fifth, and you're saying it's between Wemby and Bam, for us and our followers on Big Picks Energy, that's great value. That's value right there. Right, so,
well, Gobert is still in the mix, unfortunately, because it just feels like that's the default.
Come on, bro.
I know, and it's crazy. It's crazy that he would be. I also think that there may be more of a push towards wings and perimeter players because this past year, if you look what happened, the all-defense team, which is voted on differently, okay, it's by different people, but the all-defense team, the top five were all bigs. The first team, and the second five were all wings, and I feel like there may be a little bit of a reversal of that coming up this year. We saw Marcus Smart win one he probably shouldn't have won. I don't know who that player would necessarily be this upcoming season, but I
look at New York. Well, I'm going to tell you this.
All of them.
Vegas?
Really.
Vegas yeah. disagrees with you.
Yeah.
Top four is all centers. Fifth is Bam. Is Wemby,
yeah.
Rudy, Gobert. Chet, and Jaren Jackson. Those are the top.
See, how the hell, see, this is what I understand, though. Like, and this is why I'm saying, like, I would not play the Bam thing, because, like, the fact that Chet and the fact that Chet is ahead of him at this stage, I mean, what has Chet proven to this point defensively compared to what Bam has proven? And who's the fourth one you said?
Jaren Jackson.
Come on. I mean, seriously. It's a blocks thing.
It's a blocks thing.
It's a blocks thing. And look, Memphis is going to be. We had Matt Issa on our show the other day. He does a really good job. Writes for Forbes. He did his piece with Tyler the other day, and he thinks the Heat are like the Memphis of the East this year. There's a lot of similarities between the two teams. Had a lot of injuries. You got the Jimmy Ja questions. You've got Bam and Jaren Jackson Jr. You've got Desmond Bane, and you've got Tyler Hero. And I can see Memphis making a big push back in the top four in the West. Like, I think the West is interesting right now, and there are a lot of teams that are that we're not looking at right now. The 30 games of a season, we're going to be like, okay, that team's really good. Like, I think Minnesota's come back to earth. I just think the conference is so competitive. We're going to see some teams, and Lakers, I think, are going to be bad. Okay, because they're not getting 75 games out of Anthony Davis again. Not happening. So I think when you look at Wemby and Wemby's candidacy specifically, are they going to be a top 15 defense? Because I don't know. Chris Paul can't guard anybody anymore, right? So they may be bad defensively too. But I just think there's too many players in the way for Bam. I might play the 3-point prop. I know that's crazy from where, but I was looking at this here. So last year, Jimmy.
That's a good example.
Averaged one make. So the number is 0.5 makes, right? Well, I mean, we didn't even think about it much, but Jimmy last year averaged, he made 41% of his threes, which is crazy.
He was at 50% for a good portion of the season.
He was. And I mean, you look at a guy who in his first 2 years in Miami shot 24% and 24%, okay? But last year he made 1.0 of 2.4 per game. And even the previous years, we didn't shoot a lot of them. He got to 0.5. His first 4 years in Miami, he was 0.5, 0.5, 0.5, 0.6. And again, he wasn't encouraged to shoot them. He didn't shoot them particularly well. Bam's stroke is better from three.
I'm convinced. I'm taking it.
I might play him over. 0.5
Dude,
is not a huge
number. Dude, he was going
3 for 3.
He was going 3 for 3 in the Olympics. Like, I'm taking it.
I mean, if Spo doesn't let him shoot in this time, and I know Spo wanted him to shoot the above the break ones, but like the corner seems to be comfortable for him right now. Like, I feel like we're going to see a little bit more of that. But they don't have enough shooting on the roster if he doesn't shoot them.
Yeah, no, I like it. I'm taking it too.
He takes the right ones too. Like, it's not like he's not taking.
He'll be efficient.
He's taking open threes. Like, there's not going to many times be a hand in his face. So even if you're playing the odds here, like just taking a guy to hit some open threes, it's not the craziest thing.
I would play that. Defensive player, I hate to say he's never winning it. I just don't think he's winning because it's
that means he's gonna win it this year.
Well, perhaps. Well, I had Tyler for sixth man a couple years ago, and that one played out. But I just don't think he's ever winning it because I think there's always gonna be a flavor of the month, and I just don't think a lot of NBA media are educated enough in what Bam does. Mm-hmm. I they're just looking at blocks, they're looking at steals, and that's it. And the fact that this guy basically anchors your entire defense, makes it impossible for guards to play on the perimeter, allows you to switch everything. Like, I just don't think we have enough people in the media who pay enough attention to that, unfortunately. And they keep changing who votes for the thing. And So, I've made some bad votes myself, too. I mean, LeBron never forgave me for voting Marc Gasol over him that year. But, like, Bam to me, I think, is one of those guys. He's always going to be in the top five. I don't know if he ever wins it. I mean, LeBron hasn't won another MVP since he left Miami, right?
Yeah. Well, the good thing is that since this is a special podcast, we got this on video, so.
Yeah. We can come back later and revisit these takes.
I want Bam to be. You know what? I'm okay with Bam launching this year. Like, and I was the anti-Chris Bosh from three guy. I was wrong, okay? I fought that whole thing. I was holding on to it. Chris should be in the paint and all that kind of stuff. No. I'm come around on that. If you can create spacing with your big, okay, who has a stroke like Bam has, I don't know if I want to see Ware shooting a lot of those right now. The stroke we talked about didn't look real good in summer league. I think it's a work in progress. He'll get there. But I think Bam... I think he should shoot some, and I also think the fact that he'll be allowed to shoot some plays into what we talked about earlier, which is them empowering him and him playing off the Olympic experience and playing with confidence and without having to look over his shoulder. They need that this year. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, Incogni.com. Again, that's Incogni.com/5floor, spelled out, 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Said the Timberwolves are going to regress a bit this season. I like that take because I actually think it comes down to either Oklahoma City or Minnesota. I think one of those two teams isn't as good as it is last season. So my next question is basically, what teams do you see underachieving from what they did last year, and what teams do you think surpass what they did last year?
And we're going NBA wide now.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay. I think the Clippers are going to move out of a playoff spot probably. Probably down to a play-in spot. I mean, I'm not a Harden guy, but to me, I don't think Kawhi's going to play enough. And it feels like that ship has sailed now that Paul George is gone. They've got some interesting pieces. I think they fall. I think the Lakers, at best, are play-in team. I don't like Golden State's roster. I don't know why everybody's high on them all of it. I've seen a lot of positivity about them lately. I think we're going to be talking about Steph and whether or not he should get out of there. I think that's going to be a conversation we have in January. I would play the Memphis overs. I feel like he catalyzes everything that they do. I know they played well without him a couple of years ago when Tyus Jones was in there, but with what they have now, and they developed some really interesting young players, like Gigi last year. Like, they developed some interesting young players last year that now they're going to play in the mix. I would play them over. To me, the thing is in the East is that it just seems fairly set. Like, the West doesn't seem set. Like, the Pelicans, if Zion's healthy, the Pelicans could be a top three seed in the Western Conference. They are loaded with length. I know they're trying to trade Ingram, or they didn't end up trading Ingram, but they're loaded with, and now they've added DeJounte. Okay, but they also could be a play-in team. They really could, because Zion misses 30 games, they're a play-in team. So I think there's a lot of, the West is much more. The East, like, I'm having trouble seeing the team that slips. And we talked about that. Like, who are the Heat going to jump, okay? It ain't going to be Boston.
I think if there's a team that they could jump, I think it could be Indiana. I think they're a team that could dip back a little bit, and they're a team that they can kind of jump on.
Siakam for a full season now, though. That's the only thing. But Halliburton looks worse, so I don't know how much those two things play off.
Ralph thinks the Cavs.
I do think it's the Cavs, but I did see a Bleacher Report stat that they had Indiana only winning, I think it's like 40-plus games this season. Really low number for Indiana, I think.
Just based on seeding odds, they have Indiana and Miami pretty much 7 and 8,
interesting,
back and forth. I think out of the top teams, I think you look at Orlando and Cleveland, and those are the only. I think the top four is set.
The only reason I would push back on Cleveland being worse is I think Kenny Atkinson can really coach, and I think he should have probably gotten a job sooner. He got blackballed with the Nets. I don't think that was the right decision at the time. They didn't really do anything to the roster, though. And now that Mitchell has his extension, I kind of wonder. Like, they didn't fix the problems,
they
which is
the core for 2 years.
But the core doesn't fit. That's the problem. That's like, Mitchell, you have Mitchell and Garland, and then you have Allen and Mobley, and you know Max is kind of supposed to kind of make things flow. They don't have Okoro anymore. They could fall. I could see that. I also think that Orlando. When everybody thinks the team's going to take, and I said it earlier, when everybody, and I fell into this trap, when everybody thinks the team is going to take a jump because they got some playoff experience, but then sometimes there's a setback before they go forward. I like the KCP signing a lot, okay? But he's being paid now. Like, he was in his other situations with the Lakers, with Denver, he wasn't really being paid. So now he's being counted on more. I like Paolo a lot. Franz, to me, was inconsistent in the playoffs last year. So, and they've just paid him also. They could slip. If I'm the Heat, I'm trying to win the division. If they win the division, they're probably going to be a top six seed. That's the way that I look at it. And the rest of the division sucks. I mean, Atlanta, Charlotte, Washington. So basically, finish higher than Orlando. Like, if they finish higher than Orlando, I do think they could be ahead of Indiana if they're healthy. I don't see them ahead of Philly. I don't see them ahead of Boston. I want to say they have a chance to be ahead of New York, but I don't think so.
What about aging Milwaukee?
They're the one that could really fall. I could see Dame missing 30, 40 games this year. He protests too much. Like, I don't think he was the same player last year. And their supporting cast is, like, Middleton's not the same guy. Brooks not the same guy. And what have they added? They added DeLon Wright, and that's it. They lost Malik.
They're counting on Giannis a lot. It's going to come down to him having, like, an MVP-type season for them to be in the mix, I guess. But New York, I think they're going to be, like, it's hard for us to say this, but I think they're going to be a really good regular season team. Like, if there was, like, an over to play, like, of who's going to surpass their number, it's probably New York. Like, I don't know what they're going to, but defensively, having that type of unit with the type of scoring that they have, and we used to joke around about the power of friendship. That matters in the regular season. Like, they have real continuity. Like, it hurts to say, but I think they're probably the two seed to me.
Well, they were close to the one
real seed. Confidence, too.
And they don't miss, and the thing is, they don't miss games until Tibbs totally breaks them. Right? Like, I mean, I'm looking at it like, is he going to play all these guys 48 minutes? Because, like, last year he wanted to play Brunson 48 minutes. He wanted to play Ananobi 48 minutes. He basically would play Josh Hart through, like, three overtimes. Yeah. Okay? And now they've added Mikal Bridges, who is, like, an Iron Man-type player, too. So, like, they've added all these really durable players, with the exception of Randall, to a coach that destroys durable players. So I'm curious to see how that works. The expectation is going to be high for them. The biggest thing you need in the NBA now is 3-and-Ds, right? And they have a bunch of them. But I do wonder if the Randall integration is problematic. And I also wonder with Hartenstein's absence, like, Mitchell Robinson, is he going to stay healthy? Because otherwise they're going to be a little thin in the front court. So I'm with you, Brady, that I think they're going to be, they're probably a 56-win team, I think, in the regular season, which would probably make them probably 8 or 9 games ahead of the most likely, something along those lines.
Yeah, no, and I like that Cavs take you said earlier, too, because I was one of the people that thought the Cavs are going to underperform this season, because everywhere I go, I keep hearing big three, big three, big three. Like, to me, those three names don't scream big three to me. Like, that big three doesn't mean what it used to.
Well, I think that, look, Mobley has the high upside potential, but it feels like it's been blocked.
Well, he's been getting worse every year.
Well, that's the thing. Like, he's not improving, and I think that's one of the reasons they brought in Atkinson, because Atkinson has typically done a good job with bigs. But as long as Jared Allen's there, I just don't know that the fit's there. And we heard all these conversations about how Clutch wanted Garland out of there if Mitchell resigned, Garland's still there. And I like Max, but I don't love their bench, and I do think that they could come back to the pack. And I think the other thing about Indiana we mentioned, yes, they have Siakam for full season, but where I might agree with you, Brady, is I think that run and gun, fast and loose stuff is going to get scouted this offseason, and they're going to have more problems, I think, this year. Yeah. So we'll see. I mean, we shouldn't be talking about getting out of the play-in. We shouldn't be talking about that. Like, they don't perceive themselves as a play-in type team, but they also don't think they're a contender right now. So it's kind of like, could they grab a 4 seed? Could the Heat grab a 4 seed in the East? It's going to be difficult. But so to me, it's just like, get out of 7 and 8.
Yeah, I think the Heat have a flair for the dramatics, and I think it's going to end up in the play-in just because that's how we like it.
If it's a play-in, that may be the last game you see Jimmy play in the Heat.
All right, guys. I think that was a great conversation. You're going to be seeing a lot more of us with 5 reasons. Make sure you visit wap.com/TripPicksEnergy. Any last words for you guys?
No, just check out 5 on the Floor. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast feeds all over the place, whether it's Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Also, the 5 Reasons YouTube channel, plenty of Dolphins content, other content on the South Florida teams, including Messi and company. And, of course, our Discord, Off the Floor, where Brady, myself, Greg, Alex, others at the 5 Reasons Sports Network, Sean, we pop in there frequently, and you can suggest episodes to us. We also give information there before anywhere else. You want to subscribe to Off the Floor, it's $2.99.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated.
CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.